Hello once again, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 7 of this really good revision history series with me, Mr. Hutchison. And this is, of course, focusing on that Edexcel GCSE exam paper 2, Richard and John. And even though it's episode 7, it's only now that we really start to focus on the two rock stars, the two main characters of our course, and that is, of course, King Richard and King John. So this podcast is going to focus on Richard. It's just going to give you an overview of who he was, where he came from, and the sort of main events of his reign, really. So that will allow you, hopefully, to have an overview and then sort of zero in and focus on individual podcasts that follow this on those individual events in more detail. If, you know, I bring something up during this overview and you think, what the heck is he talking about? Well, you can just focus in on that particular podcast. Okay, so in a previous one, I've already spoken about Richard and John's family. Do remember that Richard and John are both brothers, and they are the son of Henry II. Henry himself was a huge, bombastic, loud, larger-than-life character, very controversial. Obviously, it was during his reign that Thomas Becket, the Archbishop, was killed, probably at King Henry's sort of, if not order, then request. He's a larger-than-life character. He is big shoes to fill. He was even asked to be king of Jerusalem. This guy was popular and powerful. So when Richard comes to the throne, he's got his work cut out for him. Okay, so King Richard then. King Richard is the oldest surviving son of Henry II. He's not his oldest original son, okay, but by the time 1189 rocks around, he's the oldest surviving son of Henry II. He was actually mainly brought up by his mother, who, of course, was Eleanor of Aquitaine. She is an incredible character, very powerful in her own right. He was mainly brought up by Eleanor, and so sort of sided with her. Eleanor and Henry fell out all the time. Henry locked her up for a long period of time, and they went to war with each other, and Richard was at war with his father when Henry II died. Okay, he was fighting to become king that little bit earlier. Richard spent most of his life in Aquitaine, where Eleanor is from, in the homelands, in the sort of south of France area. He considered himself Angevin first and English second. He was brought up in France. He preferred it in France, and he very rarely visited England. I think, in fact, he only ever sort of visited twice. He was very, very well educated. He could speak Latin. He was mainly, though, his main sort of focus and passion in life was war. He was an incredible warrior. Okay, he was renowned throughout the whole of Christendom. By the time he becomes king, he's already famous as being a fantastic warrior. He was also a poet and a songwriter, and he was also sort of interested in other cultures. We have mixed reports of him, but he's generally considered as someone who was intelligent, a sort of good sense of humour. He was loved by his men, charismatic, arguably arrogant, particularly, you know, when it comes to his death. He hasn't got his armour on when he's shot with an arrow, so definitely arrogant, possibly overconfident. There are reports from his early time as a... sort of prince in Aquitaine, when he could be quite ruthless and quite cruel, but beyond all, undoubtedly he was brave, extremely brave. Now, at the start of our course, he hasn't quite yet earned the title Lionheart. He gets that during the Third Crusade, but when he gets that title, it shows you the type of character he was. He was extremely brave, extremely powerful, a great warrior. And as I mentioned in the last episode of this podcast series, that's important if you're a medieval king, okay? You are expected to be a great military leader, a great military tactician, a great soldier, and a great fighter. And Richard was undoubtedly all of those things. All right, little bit of background information about you before we get to his sort of coronation. He had spent some time as the Duke of Aquitaine as well. He had rebelled with his brothers against his father and had actually defeated Henry II. He Had defeated rebels in Aquitaine as well, so he had lots of experience in fighting and in battles. He had beaten down some rebel barons in Aquitaine as well in 1179. So this is a guy that is used to having a sword in his hand. This is a guy that doesn't shy away from a battle. All right. By the end of 1183, his older brother had died, and that made Richard Henry's chief heir, despite the fact they had a tumultuous relationship, despite the fact they were constantly at war with each other. The very nature that Richard was his eldest surviving son made him next in line. All right. In 1189, he goes to Henry II. With Henry II again, purely because he was worried that Henry favoured John over him. He was terrified that Richard would be over, that he would be overlooked, and that John would be installed as the next king. Remember, it wasn't necessary that the eldest son followed as king. It was the convention, but it wasn't necessary. The king named his successor. He named his heir. And when that didn't happen, that's what led to problems, folks. That's what led to 1066 and the Battle of Hastings. You know, you've got three different people each suggesting or thinking that they've been promised the throne. Yeah, this is when problems happen. Richard hadn't been named by Henry at that point. He was scared that he wouldn't be, and so he went to war. Whilst at war with his father, Henry II goes ahead and dies, and Richard becomes king in 1189. Now, obviously, that's when our course actually starts, although it's good for you to know a little bit of the background. So when Richard becomes king, the first major event on our course is his coronation. And it's not just the fact that he becomes king and he gets crowned at Westminster Abbey there, it's the Jewish pogroms that kick off there. They kick off as, at the coronation itself. Jewish people turn up with gifts. The pogroms kick off as a result of that, and they spread throughout the country. So the first major event of Richard's reign is the Jewish pogroms between 1189 and 1190. There is a specific podcast on that. If you sat there thinking, you're not very confident on that history, do go back and listen to that podcast again. Okay, in 1190 as well, Richard leaves England to tour his lands in France. Typical Richard, he preferred his lands in France. That much is clear. Very rarely in England. So he becomes King of England and then leaves. All right, very, very typical of him. Also, the other thing that sort of typified his reign was the loss of Jerusalem. Remember, Jerusalem was ruled by a Christian king, but in 1187, it was taken back by Saladin. Saladin, great military general that led an alliance of Kurds and Egyptians and Syrians, all with one aim, and that was to take back Jerusalem from the Christians. That happened after the Battle of Hattin in 1187, and that news would have spread quickly across Europe and across Christendom, and Christians would have been outraged. Richard himself was outraged. He was already in his 30s as well when he came to the throne, and so he saw this as a great opportunity to make his name in history. Remember, people didn't live very long in medieval times. By 40, you were doing well. You were knocking on death's door by 40 for most people. So Richard only had a limited amount of time left. If he was going to make his reputation, he had to do it soon. And what better way to make a sort of immortal reputation than to take Jerusalem back from Saladin, who in his own right was a famous military general. So again, Richard saw this as a great opportunity to test his mettle against a world-renowned military tactician, if you like, in Saladin. Okay, so Richard makes the decision that he's going to go, even before he becomes king. But in order to do that, he needs a good army. All right, and he spares no expense at all. The minute he becomes king, he sees the opportunity to go on crusade and bring Jerusalem back into Christian hands. So he spares no expense, folks. He's got the best weapons, the best armor for his men. There are reports of experimental weaponry as well, trebuchets, beehives. bizarrely, to use as projectiles, all kinds of crazy reports, about the weaponry and the experimental weaponry he took. That's not important, but what is it costs. It costs, and that means that he taxes the heck out of the English people. All right, he famously says if he could, he would sell London if he could find a buyer. Okay, so that's what he does. That's the first thing he does, is tax the heck out of the English people. Then he sets off on crusade to the Holy Land. He leaves in June 1190, invades Cyprus on his way. We'll go into that more detail in a later podcast, but conquers it and immediately sells it off. He does join forces with his old enemy, well, old enemy and old ally, Philip II of France, who's the King of France, and he captures the port of Acre, which is close to Jerusalem, which is like the staging post where you land in the Holy Land, essentially. Okay, Philip and Richard quarrel for whatever reason, for reasons we're going to go into in more detail in a later podcast, and the French king returns home, and then quickly goes about attacking Richard's lands in Aquitaine. Okay, Richard actually fails to take Jerusalem, again, the focus of another podcast, but he fails to take land. He does take lots of land. He takes the land between Acre and Jaffa and all the land on the coast. He takes a significant amount of land there, but he realizes that there's no way he can take Jerusalem and hold on to it. Also, he's getting reports that John and Philip II are attacking his lands back home. That's right, his brother John had turned against him to fight or to take some of his land and to take his crown whilst Richard's away. So Richard's running out of time. He decides to leave. He leaves with a heavy heart, knowing that he has failed to take Jerusalem. On his way back, he manages to get himself captured. And again, the reasons for that we'll go into in a later podcast. But he basically annoys people whilst he's away. He's blamed for the murder of a key baron. And his relatives, the murder baron's relatives, capture Richard on his way home. They see a great opportunity. Leopold sees a great opportunity to earn a lot of money. It wasn't the done thing to kill your prisoners in medieval times. When Richard is captured, you ransom him. And he's a king. He's the most famous king in Christendom. He's going to be worth some serious amount of money. Okay, so he is captured by Leopold of Austria and imprisoned in 1192. And he's not actually released until February 1194. Eleanor of Aquitaine puts in a Herculean effort and manages to raise a king's ransom and manages to get him released. Okay. Richard returns briefly back to England, where he forgives King John, his brother, or soon to be King John, sorry, but Prince John at the time, his brother. Absolutely amazing. He calls John a silly young boy, even though John is older than like I am now, right? He's like in his 30s. But no, Richard calls him a silly young boy. You didn't know what you were doing. You'll learn from your mistakes. Forgives him and names him his heir. Bearing in mind that Richard, of course, had no children at this stage. So incredible. But that's what he does. He then decides to go back over to France. He decides to go back there to win the lands he'd lost, the lands that Philip II had taken whilst Richard was away. And whilst he is there in a skirmish, he wins back all of his lands from Philip, by the way. So his kingdom is pretty much the same size as it was when he inherited in 1189. But then in 1199, in a silly skirmish, he manages to get himself shot with a crossbow and dies, and that's the end of his time. Okay, so hopefully that gives you a nice big overview of who Richard was, where he came from, the type of man he was, and finally a nice overview of his reign. Okay, so that if you know I mentioned anything you were totally unsure of there, then you can just find the corresponding podcast to that particular event and enhance your knowledge. In the next one, we're going to do exactly the same thing, but with King John. I hope that's been useful to you, and hopefully I'll see you again soon. Take care.